This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're coming to you from the Quicken Loan Studios in New York. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Doing more is brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team, Jason Kipnis. The Indian second baseman who has struggled this year but went 3-for-4 tonight with 2 runs scored and 2 RBIs from a single in the third and a solo home run in the fifth as the Indians cruise to a 6-2 win over the White Sox. Doing more brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Tomorrow night at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, CBS Sports Network tells the stories of 3 women college athletes who faced adversity yet returned to their sports with resilience and extraordinary success. Don't miss Define the Odds, the 2018 Honda Inspiration Award on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Incredible soccer games daily in Russia. Get on PharrellOnTheBench.com. The time is now. Baseball picks every day. PharrellOnTheBench.com rocks. We got boxing, MMA, daily fantasy. Football right around the corner. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Sign up today. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at Geico.com. So my friend Jimmy Howard of the Detroit Red Wings joins us on the bench. He's got a lot going on. How's it going, Jimmy?
Everything's great, man. Can't complain.
Good. Hey, so let's talk about Howie's Home Run Derby, a big, huge event you're having this Friday at the Legacy Center Sports Complex in Brighton, Michigan. Tell everybody about what it's about.
Correct. Well, now that the city of Detroit is giving me so much, it was about a year ago. My wife and I were talking. We were like, we should really start up a foundation to give back. And so, what I wanted to do is something that would, try to incorporate everyone. People do golf events and you see softball games and bowling. But I thought a lot of people, would enjoy is a home run derby. And so we've got age groups that you can sign up on Jimmy Howard Foundation.org. That's $35 for an entry fee. And then we've got like age groups from 8 to 11, 12 to 14, 15, 15, 16, 17, 18, and then 18 and over. So there's different fields there, so you can, the people that sign up, will be able to test their strengths out there.
So this is great. You're going to be jacking home runs, and it's such a great cause. There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on there. You get to meet Red Wing players. There's going to be kid zones, music, food, everything. I know you and Rachel are stoked to do it to kick off the foundation. Dealing with families and kids having health challenges, it's crazy, but there's so much of it. It has to have a huge impact in the community, what you guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to work closely with the children's hospitals in town around the city of Detroit. And also, for myself, it's important to continue to work with the Arthritis Foundation because that one has hit close to home, where I've had several family members dealing with it and tragically because of the disease, I had a cousin take his own life because it's been so debilitating. So it hits home, and for us to be able to be in a position, that we're in to be able to set up an event like this and to help help raise, you know, funds and awareness is, you know, a great feeling for my wife and I.
You've done stuff before with, like, the Real Men Wear Pink campaign, so this isn't new to you, is it?
No, you know, fortunately, you know, I'm in a position, you know, where I get, you know, I'm very fortunate I get to play a game for a living, and, you know, it's important, you know, for us, I believe, you know, because the game has given us so much that, and, you know, the fans and the cities that we play in, that, you know, I think we all need to do our piece and give back to the communities.
So you, let's go back to hockey for a second. You're, you finally got healthy again, it would appear to me. You were, I mean, the last couple years, I think in 15, 16, and 16, 17, you were all banged up, and then you finally got healthy this year. Was it good to get back in between the pipes and play as much as you were able to this year?
Yeah, to be able to play in 60 games again this year, for the first time in a while, you know, three, four years, it was great to get back out on the ice and playing every single night. You know, there was two seasons in a row there where, you know, I spent a lot of time, you know, watching on the sidelines, and it was, you know, it's not fun, you know, being, you know, a competitor that I am, that, you know, that we all are in the NHL. When those things are, you know, those are happening, they can be frustrating, but, you know, I've managed to push through.
So you, you know, my entire life, like, the Red Wings have always been really good, and the rivalries that you've had with the Penguins, you know, in 08, 09, everybody knows the history between the two teams and everything like that. But it's really the last time that the Red Wings have mattered and that have won it all and been playing for cups. You guys aren't used to that. I'm not used to it. I'm not used to not seeing the Red Wings on top of the hockey world, or at least, you know, automatically in the playoffs. It has to drive you guys nuts, like, that you've gone through this these last few years.
Well, I think it was, you know, for an organization, at a certain point in time, it becomes inevitable. You know, there's, you know, the parity throughout the league is, you know, the best that it's ever been at. And are we frustrated that we're not in the playoffs for the last 2 years in a row? Yeah. You know, it's no fun coming to, you know, the first week of April and your season ending. But, you know, just, you know, got to keep pushing throughout the, you know, throughout the summer, get ourselves ready, and then, you know, see, you know, what pieces are added and go from there.
How is the new arena in Detroit? Finally, you guys opened up a new building after playing in the Joe for so long.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a state-of-the-art facility. I know for us as players, we absolutely love it. You know, all the amenities that we have now down in the dressing room, and having the practice arena attached to the arena is very ideal for us. And to be honest with you, I haven't even been able to get on the boat around the whole building yet. So everyone that you know came in for a game and got to see the building set, there's so many attractions that, you know, you got to go a couple of times before you can take it all in.
What did you think? Jimmy Howard with us. He's got a huge home run derby, Howie's home run derby on Friday in Brighton at the Legacy Center Sports Complex. Don't forget, you can sign up at jimmyhowardfoundation.org. It's $35 to be a part of the home run derby. I'm still wanting to see Jimmy jack a couple of long balls over the wall. Do you?
I don't know if I've got that distance.
Yeah, but this is what we're all waiting for, is to see if you can jack one to left. Do you feel any, like, because I'm a, you know, so hardcore Penguin fan my whole life that it was hard for me, you know, I never liked the Capitals, and the Penguins had beaten the Capitals so many times and tortured Ovechkin. But if there was one guy that I respect beyond all others that I thought should get his name on that cup, it's Ovechkin. The guy has broken his back for that organization like you have Detroit, and given everything, I mean, every blood, sweat, tear, suffered, just horrific losses in the playoffs, torturous seven-game defeats to the Penguins, to the Rangers. Could you believe he finally broke through? It was pretty cool to see a guy that happy. I've never seen anyone that happy with that cup.
Yeah, no, it was amazing to see, and I think everyone throughout the hockey world are excited for him and happy for him. He's one of the the greats that's ever played this game. One of the guys that you probably go down as having one of the best shots in the league. But it's kind of weird, it wasn't their most talented team they've ever had in Washington, but they had a team that they battled for each other every single night. You could see that from what it appeared from the outside looking in, that they were a very close team, which definitely when you're going into the war that the playoffs can be is very beneficial.
Could you believe their coach quit today?
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty weird. So you don't see that too often.
Right.
When the Stanley Cup, you see a coach resign from the organization. So I really don't know much too much about it. I just saw it on social media.
So your wife and you get all involved in the charity and everything, like playing. In all these huge games in your career, what's the difference for you? How much joy do you get out of playing hockey anymore, in all honesty, compared to the joy that you get helping kids and helping families in their fight with cancer and the like? I mean, I would think, my guess is that you and Rachel are starting to find that end of things is maybe a little bit cooler than all the hockey accomplishment. You've done it all in hockey. This other thing is probably new for you and such a joy to your heart and your soul. I mean, am I wrong?
And nerve-wracking. I'm more nervous than this than I am for going up to play a game. I wanted to go off without a hitch, and I've got a great team around me that is put in a lot of great effort countless hours for me. So I'm just hoping everything goes off without a hitch. Friday night the weather cooperates, and we're allowed to raise a lot of money to go out there and help families and children and around the city of Detroit.
Yeah, I know you will, and I know it's going to be a huge success. Anything that you and the Red Wings do always is. Check out JimmyHowardFoundation.org for the great event, Howie's Home Run Derby, this Friday at the Legacy Center Sports Complex on Goble Drive in Brighton, Michigan. Check it out. Look it up. Sign up. $35 a pop. Jimmy, I love you. Always good catching up, brother. Congrats on the charity.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. Can I add one more thing, though, that I forgot to say about the charity?
Yeah, absolutely.
About the event?
Absolutely.
If you don't want to participate in the Home Run Derby, you still can come out. To get into the event is only $10 at the door. So there'll be, like you said, a lot of great music, food trucks, and, the Red Wings will have, stuff there for shoot hockey and shootouts and stuff like that. So we got a lot of bounce houses and et cetera, et cetera. So it'll still be a fun event, even if you don't want to partake in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, so spectator admission is 10, children under 5, free, bouncy houses, yeah. Everything. Everybody gets a shirt at the event. Jimmy, all the best, man. Have fun Friday.
Thanks.
All right, Jimmy Howard of the Detroit Red Wings, a huge event in Detroit on Friday in Brighton, Michigan. Check it out, Howie's Home Run Derby. There he is, Jimmy Howard of the Red Wings, on a bench on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. That's the number to get on the bench. We want to hear from you. So that was Jimmy Howard, the Red Wings goalie. Getting benched. He's got a big event going on in Brighton, Michigan on Friday of this week. So moving on to the Kawhi Leonard latest, right? We obviously talked about this last week, that he wants the Spurs to trade him. He wants to go allegedly to the Lakers and or Clippers. And the more you hear about it, the more you wonder, why would they do that? Some sources are saying that he's not going to L.A. or any other destination in the West. And then I heard all this. He has leverage that he can tell any non-L.A. team that he has no interest in signing an extension after his current deal expires in a year, and that may end up diminishing the value of offers Eastern Conference teams are willing to make. So I think they'll refuse to trade him to a Western Conference team. I mean, that I feel still. And if they trade him, they could, you know, teams like the Celtics and Sixers have all the assets. Lakers, Clippers, the only team with assurances they'll re-sign him next summer. They could offer more, even assembling a package from a shallower pool of assets. I'm seeing all this stuff. But there are others that have concerns over his injury. And allegedly, the Lakers and Clippers both have concerns about his injury. We all know what it was, right? It was like a torn quad. And it's a brutal injury. I've actually done it before. I've torn my quad. It is no joke. I mean, it takes forever for a torn quad to heal. It is crazy. Because the minute you start running, it goes again. It, like, you know, repops. And it just is never strong. I mean, you never have that burst or strength or, you know, the ability to take off, that explosive burst that a basketball player needs to get that first step, right? That boom, that pump fake and that go, or that, you know, off the dribble stroke of running off the dribble and getting a shot off, right? That explosive nature of that move is, you know, you can't do it with a torn quad. But I just cannot see why they would give him to a team in the West. It makes no sense to me. And it really, you know, makes even less sense to, if you ask me, to give him to the Lakers. Like, it'd be like just asking them to be, you know, take off and get good. I mean, you give Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers and they somehow get their hands on LeBron James. And then people were talking last week about PG as well. I just do not believe for 1 minute they're getting all three of those players on that team this offseason. It's, you know, I mean, I could see teams like the Oak City getting, you know, that they got George and Melo right on top of Westbrook. Getting two makes is palatable, makes some sense. Getting three superstar players, to me, is just, it's just not happening. It just doesn't happen on the same team. I could see getting one. I could see getting two. It gets harder and harder at two. Getting three, all of those players to play for the Lakers, it's just, I just don't buy it. I don't believe it. I don't even think they have the ability to do it. Now, I know they have the ability to do two Supermax deals, but won't that paint them in a corner? I mean, in some level, you know, after they, let's say they do that. Let's say they got LeBron and a trade and they were able to get their hands on Kawhi Leonard. They would have to give him, obviously he can't get a Supermax from them. He'd get less than he would get in San Antonio. But wouldn't those two players alone, if they got deals from the Lakers, like bust them? They'd be bust. Like they wouldn't have any money left for anybody else for a while.
I mean, you'd have to trade a bunch of assets to the Spurs to kind of make up for the salary that you're going to possibly give him. I mean, it's probably easier to possibly do that this year than it was for some of these other teams, the way they built theirs through trades, because you're going to be able to sign PG as a free agent. You're going to be able to sign LeBron as a free agent. So you don't have to give up stuff to get them. There's only one trade you're going to have to do to really deplete your roster. I agree with you. I don't see it, because it would be asinine of Greg Popovich to trade him in the West. He's the only reason that you've competed for these last couple of years in the West, him and Aldridge. So why would you go and make it more difficult for yourself to compete next year in an already stacked conference by sending him to another team?
They already saw how bad they are without him.
Right, they're going to trade him. If they trade him, it's going to be somewhere in the East. Pop's not going to bend to him. Popovich doesn't even bend to the president of the United States. You think he's going to care where Kawhi Leonard thinks? No, he's going to send him where he wants. because he's still going to get good value for him, even if he doesn't commit.
I don't think that he has a problem with Kawhi Leonard. I think he has a problem, Popovich, with Kawhi Leonard's people, his camp.
Well, his problem is probably with his demand of what, you know, what he wants. He's trying to set the tone. No, you don't tell Pop what to do. He tells you what to do.
I don't think Kawhi Leonard told Pop what to do.
No, but if him and his camp are saying, oh, well, he wants to, we're only going to go to the West. We won't go to these teams. Otherwise, we're going to mess up your deal.
I don't actually, I think, you know, if any of that's true that he's saying, I want to go to the Lakers, that's fair enough. But the bottom line is that if he stays there, they got to pay him the whatever it is, $210 million. He's got all the cards. They act like they have all the cards. If he stays in San Antonio, they have to pay him a Supermax deal. Done deal. It doesn't matter what they want. They got to give him the full boat. So who's got all the cards? Who's laughing now? He is. He gets everything. There's nothing they can do about it. If he stays there, he gets everything. So he's got all the cards.
But I don't think the problem is that they're not willing to pay that money. They're willing to give it. They want him to stay. It's that whether or not he wants to go and, you know, if him and his camp.
I don't think they want him anymore after he's already said he wants out. I mean, the minute you say you want gone, their interest in you is devalued immediately. But the minute you say you don't even want to be there anymore, why would they give you a Supermax deal now? Like, I wouldn't. Why would you keep a guy, give a guy everything that doesn't even want to be there? He's already said he wants to leave. He doesn't want to be there. So you trade him to the Orlando Magic. If I'm Popovich, I'd teach him a lesson. You think you're a hot shot? Watch this. But then the bottom line is that he only has to play there for a year. So what does he care? At the end of the day, this is going to be a divorce. It's going to get ugly because he wants them to do this. They're not going to do it. He's going to end up with some crappy gig for a year, and then he's going to go wherever he wants. But if you're the, like, Lakers, why would you trade everything, Kuzma and Ball, for that guy when in a year you could go get him? There's nothing anyone can do in a year, right? If I'm them, I go get LeBron James and worry about him a year later, because I think LeBron can win with Kuzma and Ball right now and Ingram right now. I think they can, boom, win right now. And then you add that guy in a year, they get even better. I firmly believe in the add one to the mix. Don't add a boatload or a super team or three guys at once. It never works. In my view, look at Oak City. They added the two guys, and look at that disaster with George and Melo. It didn't work.
Well, it's because the second one was Melo. If you added someone else, it might have been a lot better.
Says who? He scored 20 a game. He's the bottom line is that guy, they owe him $29 million this year. So they did it. They're stupid. It's their fault. They asked for it. What they got.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Jeremy in Wisconsin, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, sir. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you tonight.
My man.
I'm looking for a big bottle of Grigio on ice.
Can we get him set up? I think we can, actually.
A big bottle of Grigio.
I got you. It's a Pinot Grigio, I believe he's looking for.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I got you.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money once again. Like I said, it is a pleasure. I laugh at some of the remarks you make for weeks.
Right.
Yeah, just so you know, at some things you have said, I just can't stop laughing. You are definitely right on the money about Phil Mickelson and how the U.S. Open is always going to be remembered for what he pulled. It's even going to change betting in the tee box. When you step up to actually begin, I don't know what type of thing they're going to call it when they say, well, I get a fill on the green or something. But this U.S. Open will always be remembered exactly for what it is that you said to open your show.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I said, actually, at the beginning of the show. I think that, no one – I've said it earlier, at the very least. I don't think people care about Brooks Koepka, and I think that they, you know, more than likely should, because he's, you know, the first guy to do it in almost 30 years. He won back-to-back U.S. Opens. You have to respect that. But I think that more so they'll remember the crying, whining players after, you know, Saturday it got out of control, obviously, and they all complained enough that I, you know, frankly think they ruined the tournament. I mean, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people think that they were right, that the course was unplayable, unmanageable. I think Zach Johnson said they lost the course. He wasn't the only guy that complained. You know, all of them complained. Stenson was heavy in the complaining department. A lot of guys were very unhappy. I think that's what it'll be remembered for more than Koepka winning, is the course was too brutal to be successful on. They ruined the Open on Saturday. You heard David Dusick say it. It was ruined on Saturday, not Sunday. Sunday was playable. That's why a guy like Fleetwood had a 62 or whatever. But he had a 63. And then Ricky Fowler had a 65. Go figure after his 84. You know, you have an 84 on Saturday and then a 65 on Sunday. Of course, everyone's favorite Ricky came back and bounced back on Sunday. Everybody loves Ricky Fowler. Although I love to not bet on him ever because he never wins. How's that sound? So, you know, like I said, I thought the World Cup blew the U.S. Open out of the water. I mean, just killed it. You got to admit, Carver High, I mean, some of the World Cup was just so unbelievable.
Some of it? I mean, honestly, most of it has been unbelievable. It's a shame a lot of people aren't dialed in because the United States isn't in it, of course. But they have gotten great games. They've gotten great finishes. I think three or four games had goals, you know, in the 80th minute or later that won games for teams.
Mm-hmm.
They've had unbelievable goals, free kicks, penalty kicks. They've had just a lot of drama. They've had big teams. The big heavy favorites have looked human in the first weekend.
Germany losing to Mexico.
Germany losing to Mexico. Argentina drawing with Iceland. Brazil, you know, dominated Switzerland, but they got a draw.
They didn't win
the game. So
how about Messi missing the penalty kick?
You had Messi missing a penalty kick and Neymar laying up in that towards the end of that Brazil game. He had an opportunity with a free kick very late, and he didn't even take a shot on net. He just kind of laid it out there for tried to get a cross for
he got
else
mauled
to do it.
In that game.
He did. That game was very poorly officiated, I thought. That was the worst officiated game so far in the World Cup.
They played Switzerland?
Yes.
They cheated the whole day.
That was, yes, and that's what the Swiss do. They'll do. They take you out of those games like that.
Is that what they do?
They bang you and cheating. They're not a team that's looking to score a lot, or they don't have a lot of high octane players. They're a team that bangs you. They're a rough team. They like to win 1-0. They like to, you know, that's their game, and they really knocked Neymar around a lot in that game.
So is he gonna be able to recover from it?
Well, you know, we'll see.
Or is he banged up now?
He's who knows? We'll see how he comes back
mauled out.
I didn't like how he didn't try to go for goal there on the free kick that he had very late in that game. I think it might have been in stoppage time.
So what did he do? Pass it or something?
He just crossed it in to try to get,
to get somebody to get a header.
Whereas Ronaldo on Friday got the job done in that 3-3 tie. Messi missed the penalty kick on Saturday. Neymar laid up.
What did
Sunday.
You think of Harry Kane's performance?
Unbelievable today, what he did. Great
England
goal to
beats
start.
Tunisia.
And they saved him. And that was looking like a typical England World Cup type of game where they don't get it done against a team that they should.
Boy, their fans went nuts.
They did.
Have you ever seen anything like that, Lions fans? Like, I mean, they're
violent.
It's
been a long time for them.
I mean, they got
a very long time.
I mean, when they won that game, they literally, like, because when they said Mexico made an earthquake happen, and when they won, that the country shook.
They scored the goal, yeah.
I actually think that England's celebratory violence, I mean, that they were slam dancing. They were literally mosh pitting when they won.
But here's the thing. Here's the difference between those two games. England should beat Tunisia. You know, England should win that game. In fact, they came out the first 10 minutes and they were flooding them, and then they scored that goal to make it 1-0, and you thought they were going to win that game 4-0 the way that game was being played, and they laid back. They conceded a penalty. Tunisia scored on it, and it was a tight game then until they got that breakthrough.
Right.
Whereas the Mexico win, that was worth the celebration that you saw,
so
because
I watched
beating
that
the defending champs was just...
So I watched that game, and that kid's goal that scored the winner for Mexico, the Lozano strike.
Yes.
That was a great goal.
Great goal.
I mean, he went short side and just blasted
it. Cut back in.
Right.
Boom. Made a great shot.
But what did you think of Germany's attack from, let's say the 70-minute on mark, like when they literally had the ball every minute, and but Mexico had a couple breakaways, they had a chance to win that game 2-0.
Yeah, because they got him on the counter after
right
on that.
But boy, did Germany come at them with everything but the kitchen sink.
They came at everything, but they waited too long to start that. I thought Germany really
messed around
and sleptwalked through a lot of that game.
So when you watch Germany play on against Mexico, did you feel that they were how good did you think they were compared to the team that won the cup 4 years ago?
I didn't think they looked as good, but
why did they actually get go backwards? It's amazing to me that the team's not like, how do you go from winning the World Cup to not being as good?
Well,
I don't get that.
These things,
they're so good at soccer.
Four years is a long time. You've got some new, you mix new guys in every time. It's very rare you bring the same 11 that you're going to play from World Cup to World Cup. Now, look, 2 years ago, they didn't win the Euro. I mean, they won the World Cup 4 years ago, but they didn't back that up. They didn't win the Euros.
Right.
Portugal beat France in a final there in that one. So these things happen, and they actually had a graphic on the screen, Fox, who's done a good job, okay, so far. I had a little problem with some of the announcers.
These are the biggest ratings that network's ever got, ever.
But I thought that
not even from football, it's from soccer.
Four of the last five defending World Cup winners didn't even get out of the group stage in the following World Cup. I couldn't believe it. Spain didn't in 2014 after they had won. You go on and on. It's weird how the defending champ hasn't gotten out of
the group stage. Aren't they playing? Because they got two more
games. They're going to get it. Listen, beat Sweden and South Korea in the two games that they got to play, then...
Are those not the two most sure bets ever?
Well, look, everybody thought Argentina was a sure bet against Iceland on Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
Remember we talked about this Friday?
It's a great story, and now people really have to start respecting what Iceland's doing, because this isn't a one-off thing now, okay? What they did in Euros 2 years ago, beating England, getting out of the group there, winning their group to qualify for the World Cup.
Right.
I think that they're, and now this draw with Argentina, their respect is going up.
Will Germany, what will they do? Are they playing Sweden next?
One of the two. That's who else is in there.
What are they going to do to that team that day? I bet they put five on them. They're going to be so angry at their performance against Mexico, don't you think? Like, can you imagine the beating they're taking back in, like, Frankfurt and all that? Like, seriously.
It's like they say, now I heard some of the guys after the game yesterday, and they basically said it. Look, we now are playing elimination games the rest of the way through. That's it. We now have to win Sweden, win South Korea. You got to win both of those games. I'm looking now to see.
Sweden beat South Korea.
They did this morning.
Right. Do you believe that Mexico, after winning that game, will go on a deep run in the World Cup? Or are people putting that the cart before the horse?
I think cart before the horse. I'm not ready to go all in on Mexico yet. They've got an unbelievable chance to win the group now, that's for sure. Because just like Germany, they play Sweden and South Korea, two teams that they are also better than. So they've got an opportunity now with the leg up to be able to win that
game. So when you saw Messi get blocked on the penalty kick.
Couldn't believe it.
And that they lost, or that they went 1-1. That's basically a loss.
That was a loss for them.
So did it look to you like he was so dejected after losing that game? He looked to me because he was peeling that thing off his arm, and he looked like, he was walking off the field. He was livid. But he looked to me like he was, I swear to God, it looked like he was done.
He was quitting.
Like he was finished.
Well, just like you talked about how furious Germany was on, when they were pushing so hard in those last 10 minutes. I mean, Argentina had the ball for 80% of the game on Saturday. And Iceland kind of did that thing where they flooded the box. They were playing 10 guys in the box. They weren't letting Argentina get anything going offensively, and they were just they allowed them to let them have the ball, pass it around, and not give them quality chances. And Argentina still had opportunities, and they didn't get it done.
So fans who purchase a Budweiser at the World Cup games in Russia get red light activated cups that go off during goals by reacting to crowd noise. That's very high-tech beer drinking.
Sounds like fun. I can't wait to get to one of these things.
What do you think of Pogba's goal for France that beat Australia?
Thought France got very lucky on Saturday.
Do you think Landon Donovan is taking too much heat for supporting Mexico?
No, I think you should take more.
He should take more heat.
Yes, he should.
So he's a communist.
Well, look, I'm all for somebody making money, which is what this is all about to him. I mean, he's filling his pocket, so good for him.
Did the bugs invade the pitch for the England-Tunisia game? There's a report of mosquitoes and bugs.
Seemed like it worked out, and they played a good game, both of them.
So you're telling me today, 5-0 betting day?
4-0
betting day today. 99% of TV viewers in Iceland watch their team's World Cup draw against Argentina. So that's a nice way of saying the entire country was watching.
Everybody.
Literally everyone. Dead people were even watching. 2 hours to go. Let's go to the Billy Idol Hour of Love. Check out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.